This week, the theme for the meeting has been shining as light in the world. I think that's a real good topic. I think it's a good theme. I was excited about the opportunity to take part in it. I guess it was maybe a year and a half ago, made a trip with some friends up to Chattanooga. And we, part of the trip, it was a group of people from church, some from Randolph County, some from up in Kentucky, some from out around Atlanta. The main point of the trip was fellowship with one another, and have some Bible studies together, and have some singing together. But another part of the trip was to go through a cave. And it wasn't just a normal cave like a Soto Caverns where everything's lit up and you can walk through and walk out and be just as clean except for the bottom of your feet when you walk out as you are when you go in. This is a cave where you go and they put a hard hat on you with a light on it and you get a battery pack, and after about the first 5 minutes there's no light except for the light on your hard hat and your battery pack and the other members of your group. At one point in the trip, we stopped and everybody sat down and they told us that they wanted us to see what absolute darkness looked like. And so everybody in the group turned their lights off. It was pretty dark. But you know, the funny thing about it was even after you turned your light off, you could still see the images of light in your eyes. And they asked you to wave your hand in front of your face. And you could wave your hand. You would think you were seeing your hand. You really weren't. It was your mind knowing that your hand was there. But you could still see light. And as Christians, that's the way we want to be. We want to be such a light in our community. We want to be such a light to our family that even after death, when our light is out, people still see our light when they look at the world around them. They still see our example. They still see who we were. And they still see Christ in our lives even after we're gone. Shining as light in the world. It's a beautiful topic. It's a terrible world that we live in, and it's going to get worse. We know that it will. There's a lot more than 8 people here tonight. And we're in just one county and one state, one country of the world. But when Noah was around, there was only 8 people who were saved. The world was that bad. There was only 8 people. There's a lot more people still wanting to live for God. There's a lot more people wanting to do what's right. But the world is going to get worse. We can look around us in our own congregations, and not only in the Church of Christ, in the denominational world, numbers in churches are getting smaller everywhere. Even in the Bible Belt, the number of people interested in Christ is getting smaller, which means that the number of people interested in living for themselves, interested in living for pleasure, interested in sin, is growing. And one day, this world will not stand anymore. One day, it will get to the point, like it did before, where the mind of men was on evil continually, like it was in Noah's day. But Noah was alive in the world, and his story still shines to us today through the pages of the Bible. What is your life going to say? Are you shining as a light for Christ? Last night, Chad talked to us about one of the ways to shine as lights in the world is to develop a Christ-like character and to develop Christ-like service. Paul also said in that same passage in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 that we should work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That's our topic for tonight, is fear and trembling. And so what Chad talked about last night in developing Christ-like character and Christ-like service should be done in fear and trembling. You know, we don't hear much about fear and trembling these days. We don't hear very many lessons on fearing God. 25, 30, 40 years ago, we probably didn't hear very many lessons about God's love. Everything was hellfire and brimstone. Today, it's right the opposite. Today, God's unconditional love for everybody. We don't hear many lessons about fear, do we? About the reasons why we should fear God. Or the things that we should fear. You ever thought about what as Christians that we should fear? You ever been afraid of missing heaven? You ever just sat down and really thought about missing heaven? And thought about your life and where it was leading you? Have you ever really thought about sin and what it does to us? And ever just got flat out afraid of sin? To the point that when you saw it, when you saw Satan, you fled and you left it? Have you ever been that afraid of sin? Sometimes I think we don't talk about fear enough. Fear is a topic that should be in our lives. If it shouldn't have been, Paul wouldn't have said to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Then maybe it shouldn't be the hellfire and brimstone fear that was preached a few decades ago. Maybe it should be a fear that's balanced with an understanding of God's love, but also an understanding of God's wrath. So we're going to talk about fear tonight. What is fear? In different places in the Old Testament and New Testament, the word fear is defined as dread or terror or an awesome or terrifying thing. It's also defined as respect and reverence and piety. A lot of times when we talk about fear of the Lord, people just simply like to refer to it as, well, you should respect God. That fearing God means that we should respect God. And that's true. I think that's part of the definition of it. I think that we should have a very high respect for God. But think about somebody that you respect, a family member, a teacher, a coach, an instructor, somebody that's been a part of your life. Maybe it's somebody that you've worked with, and you had a lot of respect for that person. Now, do you tremble when you think about that person? Do you tremble when you think about being around them? No, you probably look forward to it. If it's somebody you really respect, you probably enjoy their company. But Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Maybe Philippians 12 should be, 2 and verse 12, should be translated as, work out your salvation with respect and fear. Respect and fear. Yeah, there needs to be a trembling part of the fear, but there also needs to be a respect part of that fear. Work out your salvation with respect to God and respect of who He is, but also with the fear of His wrath. Now, thinking back to the things Chad talked about last night, what would make us want to develop a Christ-like character? A respect for God, a respect for Jesus Christ. Those people that you respect, the person that you think so much of, and you have so much respect for them, don't you find yourself sometimes wanting to imitate that person? Don't you want to be like that person? And so you try to develop their characteristics. Well, we should be the same way with Christ. We develop a high respect for Christ, a high respect for God, and we do, like Chad said, we try to develop Christ-like character in our lives. Now, in developing that Christ-like character, we realize that there's things that we should do. And we realize that there's consequences for our actions. And therefore, with fear, we develop Christ-like service. Because we know that without that Christ-like service, we will be cut off. There will be no place for us in heaven without that Christ-like service. And we begin to fear sin and love doing right. So work out your salvation with respect and fear and trembling. Respect for God and fear of His wrath. How important is fearing the Lord? Let's look back to the book of Proverbs. You can turn back to Proverbs because all of the passages about the importance of respecting the Lord and fearing God come from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know what we think the beginning of knowledge is too many times? Learning to speak. Learning to read and write. The things that they teach us in elementary school. How to make a complete sentence with the proper grammar. A lot of times we think that's where knowledge starts, because that's where learning begins. But you know, everything that we can learn about this life, no matter how many degrees we get, no matter how many certifications we get, no matter how many awards we get, no matter what we learn in this life, if we don't fear God, we do not have knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Why is that so? Why is it that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? Maybe because for the first time in our lives, we realize how weak, how frail that we are. And we truly see ourselves the way God sees us. Because when we begin to fear God, when we respect God, and we fear the wrath that He can have on sinners, that He will have on sinners, then we truly see ourselves for who we are. And if all we ever see is our degrees and our plaques on the wall, and how nice we can dress, we don't have a clue about who we are. We don't have a clue. The Spirit of God is beginning to knowledge. That's when we start to see ourselves. That's when we can look into the biblical, spiritual mirror, see who we are, and start correcting ourselves through God's will. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Without fear of the Lord, where will we be? Where will we be without the fear of the Lord if we don't have knowledge? Well, we'll be lost. We'll be left. We'll be cut off. We'll be cast into the sea of fire. It's not going to be pretty. And too many times, we want to respect ourselves. We want to fear losing our own reputation. What we should be fearing is the Lord. And that is the beginning of knowledge. If you look at Proverbs the 8th chapter, in verse 13, we'll find out a little bit more about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 13, it says here that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. So it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and these things I hate. Do you hate evil? Seriously. Do you cringe at the sight of sin? You know, there's things that we're all afraid of. Some of us are definitely afraid of snakes. And we see a snake, and we want to either kill it or get away from it as fast as we can, whatever happens. Some of us would run off the road if we saw a snake. Some of us are afraid of spiders. Some of us might be afraid of the dark. There's things that we're all afraid of, and when we get close to those things, whatever it is, we have this afraid feeling come over us. You've had that feeling before when a deer starts to run out the road in front of you, your whole body just gets chilled, and man, your adrenaline just gets to running. That's fear. Do you fear sin? Do you fear Satan and the things that he can tempt you with? You know, Satan knows us pretty well, doesn't he? He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strengths. He knows my desires. He knows my love. He knows all of it. Do you fear the fact that he knows that? You ever felt like somebody had something on you and they could blackmail you with it? You just don't want to be around that person, do you? Because they know you, they've got something that they can use against you to get you to do something that you might not want, to try to control you. Because they've got an edge on you. They know something about you. But let me tell you, Satan knows every single thing about us. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows exactly where to hit us. And that should scare us to death. Because he knows exactly where to hit us. We should fear and hate evil and sin. I think Satan's conditioned us a little bit, though. I'm afraid that we might not be as afraid of sin and hate sin and evil quite as much as we should. He can soften us to it. He can. He has. He's used magazines. He's used billboards. He's used movies. He's now using the internet to soften us to sin so that it doesn't bother us. We get callous to it. It doesn't bother us as much. We don't feel it. Maybe we need to start back working on feeling that fear of sin. Feeling that hate for sin. And when we see it, it just disgusts us. It's not that we see it and we want to watch a little longer to see if we can find something good to laugh at. We see it and we want to turn it off. We want to put it down. We want to walk away. We don't want to have any part of it. Hate evil. Don't have fun with it. Don't flirt with it. Hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23 tells us a little bit more about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23. This is the good part. The last part was a little bit on the negative side. Proverbs 19 and 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and shall not be visited with evil. Remember what Paul said? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, there will to be content. Are you content? Are you content with what you have? Do you abide satisfied with what you have, with who you are, with what you've become? do you abide satisfied and content? The Bible says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath the fear of the Lord, he that hath the respect of God, he has life. Life. Isn't that what we want? Not this life here. We don't want this life. If this was all the life we ever wanted, then we would be worried about eternity, would we? We're not talking about this life. Let's have the life eternally. Spiritual life. And if that's what we're concerned about, we will abide satisfied. Because we're here doing the best that we can, waiting on our turn to go home. Our turn to go home. And we will not be visited with evil. Evil tries to come visit us. It tries to find us. But when we have the fear of the Lord, we hate evil. When we hate evil, we resist evil. And remember what James says about when we resist the devil? It says, resist the devil. We'll be talking about it last week. And he will flee from you. That's how evil doesn't visit us when we have the fear of the Lord. That's how. Because we hate evil and we resist it. And we abide satisfied and we have life. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Along those same lines in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now some of us are not old enough to have seen people age after high school. Some of us are getting there. Some of us are old enough to see people age after kids and grandkids. But have you ever seen somebody who was the same age as you were, but who was not living a Christian lifestyle? You ever looked at them? You ever noticed how much a sinful lifestyle will age somebody? Have you ever noticed? I've got friends I graduated high school with that I've run into, and I think, man, they must have had it rough over the past few years. They must have had it rough. And they probably did. They had it rough with the devil. You know, you play with the devil and you lose. You play with God and you have life. So, you buy all the age creamers and everything you want to do, but the best thing you can do to have life is to live for God. Everything else is going to put age on you. The fear of the Lord for longest days. How does it do that? Well, there's a lot of scientific stuff behind just happiness and being a happy person in general. And there's been studies and they've even had examples where they think they can prove that people who have been diagnosed with some life-threatening illness, who think they don't have much time left, they start to live. They go on the trips they've always wanted to make. They go see the people they've been wanting to see for so many years. They do the thing that they've known that they wanted to do, and then all of a sudden, they're cured. And nobody can explain it. And what they attribute it to is happiness. They say the people who are happy have a lot higher chance of overcoming illness than people who just give up. I've seen it. You've seen it. We've all seen people who get sick, and they get down, and they give up, and they don't last long. They don't. But you see somebody that's got hope, somebody that's happy, somebody that is content, and they're going to make it. And it's the same thing for us. If we live for the Lord, it will prolong our days. We'll have a long, happy life for Him. But if we choose to live for Satan and choose to live for ourselves, the years shall be shortened. Again, on the same lines of talking about our life, turn to Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Let's read verses 26 and 27. Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Strong confidence in the fear of the Lord. How do we have strong confidence in the fear of the Lord? Well, when we think about everything we've talked about, the fear of the Lord being respecting God and developing a Christ-like character, trembling in the thoughts of God's wrath and what's going to fall on those that don't follow Him, and therefore developing a Christ-like service, we have confidence when we do that. We have the same confidence that Paul had when he said, it's not ready for me to go. My time has come. I have fought a good fight. I have faced the course. I have kept the faith. And there's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That confidence, that very strong confidence, to have the confidence to pin the word, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Would you sign your name to the dotted line if at the top of it it said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness tonight? If somebody hands you a piece of paper that says, I have lived for Christ, I have a crown of righteousness, would you sign your name to it? And say, I agree to the above statement. Paul did. He put it down for everybody to read for the next, so far, 2,000 or so years. He wasn't ashamed of it. He had a strong, strong confidence. Now, if we don't fear God, if we don't respect God, if we don't respect His wrath, we won't have that confidence. We won't have that confidence because we won't live the life. We'll fall to sin. We'll fall to the devil. We'll live our lives knowing there's things we need to do better. We'll live our lives knowing there's people we should visit. We'll live our lives knowing there's people we should call. We'll live our lives knowing there's things we need to do. And we're not doing them. We're not doing them. I was listening to the tape today and a guy was talking about his family and how that he knew that there were things that he needed to spend time with his family. And he was talking about material things and how much time they take away. And we all have a lot of material possessions. And he said, you know, I live on a pile of junk. And it takes up my time because every weekend I've got to oil it, cut it, mow it, clean it up, fix it, it breaks down. And it takes up my time maintaining all the junk that I bought. He talked specifically about a swing set. And his wife wanted him to buy a swing set for his kids. And when he got it, it didn't look like the one at the store because the one at the store was standing up with swings on it. His came in a box that was 10 feet long, 2 feet wide, and a foot tall. Had about 150 different screws and nuts and bolts, and it said after a week you got to re-tighten them, and then every other week you need to re-tighten them again, and you got to oil every moving part once a month. And he said, so for the rest of my life, every other Saturday is dedicated to tightening bolts and oiling the swing set that we bought for our kids. He said there's a park a block away. And he was talking about how he wished he could just throw it away, get rid of the lawnmower, pay somebody to cut the grass so he could spend his time doing the things that were more important. And we all have material things that have to be maintained. Our houses have to be maintained. Our cars have to be maintained. Lawnmowers, all that stuff. And it takes up our time. It takes up our time. But if we get enough stuff that we want, if we get enough things that I want, and I'm living for me, and I'm not living for God, then I'm going to end up having all my time dedicated to all my toys. And I won't have any time left to respect God and fear God. I won't have time to think about it. The wrath of the consequences of spending my life maintaining a pile of junk so that when I'm dead and gone, somebody just has to come and pick it up and take it to the junkyard. What good is that doing me? Not doing me a bit of good. Strong, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The fountain of life. You ever seen somebody that just had a sparkle in their eye and a skip in their step? We've probably all seen people who were newborn babes in Christ. And we see the excitement that they have. We see the life that they feel. Where is that? In all of us. Where is that? There's a song that, I believe it's Tim McGraw, that has just, I don't know if he's just come out with it or what, but it's called Live Like You Were Dying. Or the chorus says something along those lines. Live Like You Were Dying. And it talks about how that you wake up and you're just glad to have another day. Just glad to be alive. You don't went to bed the night before, you didn't even know if you would have it. You ever been that excited to wake up in the morning? Sometimes it takes me a little while just to get where I won't even smile in the morning, much less wake up and be happy about being alive. But the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The fountain of excitement, the fountain of spirit. The fountain of being ready to get out of bed in the morning, ready to be thankful that, hey, I've got another opportunity to live for God. When we don't feel that, what are we fearing and trembling of? Well, it's not God. Maybe we get out of bed because we're trembling at what the boss might say if we're late. That might not keep the job, might not be able to pay the bills. What is it that we're respecting and trembling that makes us go? Is it God or is it something else? The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord. Remember that verse that said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? That knowledge of who God is. That knowledge of what God is. You ever thought about that? Who God is? Look back to Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God. And read over that list of things He did. Read over that list of who God is. He's the creator of everything. The air we breathe, the land we walk on. Everything that's here, God created. Everything. And He created us in His image. And this being, this God that created all of this, is ready to give us riches and honor and life. He prepared the way for it. He made the plan for it. Now He knows we don't deserve it. He knows we don't. I know I don't deserve it. You know you don't deserve it. The only person that deserves it is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that lives a perfect life. And He's the one that paid the price for our sins. He's the one that paid the price for me so that I could have riches and honor and life. And God wants to give us all those things. He wants to give us riches, honor, and life. And you know where He's going to give them to us? We might taste a little bit of it here. We might taste it. But He wants to give it to us in heaven. You know how rich we'll be in heaven? Well, for one thing, it won't matter. But if you just ever thought about what heaven is, the description that we have in Revelation, all the jewels and the gold and the streaks of gold that are transparent as glass. You ever thought about that? How beautiful that's going to be? How rich? You know, think about people that live in what we call rich neighborhoods. You know, you live in a rich neighborhood, people think you have a lot of money. Well, think about what it's going to be like in heaven. That's going to be a pretty rich place. There's not a city on earth that's got streaks of gold. Not at all. It's a funny joke. There was a guy that lived his whole life here on earth. Made everything he could. When he died, all he had to his name was a bag of gold. And so he was speaking to St. Peter at the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, "What's that you got with you? Is that your suitcase?" He said, "No, this is the best I could bring from down to earth." He handed it to him and said, "What is it?" He poured it out and he said, "You brought asphalt?" So that's what they use for paving in heaven. The best thing we've got here is what they pour the streets with. We can't imagine the riches and the honor and the glory and the life that we'll have in heaven. And the fear of the Lord is where we'll get that. To develop Christ-like characteristics through respect and fear. To develop Christ-like service out of respect and fear for who God is. And you know what we'll do if we do all of that? We're going to shine. We're going to shine. We're going to shine so much that when we're dead and gone, people are still going to see our light shining in their lives. And then other people will see their light shining in their lives. And we'll make a difference. Because we'll shine. Now what if we don't have the Spirit of the Lord? Well, have you ever not been motivated to repent of sin? You ever done something that you knew was wrong, but you just weren't motivated to repent and to really change your life? I'm sure a lot of us have prayed and told God we were sorry and asked Him to forgive us. And I'm sure a lot of us have done that and turned right back around and gone exactly back to the same thing we just asked Him to forgive us of. Now when we do that, do we sincerely fear God? Respect God, tremble at the thought of His wrath, hate evil, all the things we've talked about. Do we really have the fear of the Lord in our lives when that's the type of repentance that we had? Not even really repent. You know, that's a slap in the face to God, isn't it? That's a slap in the face to God. To ask Him to forgive us knowing we're going to turn around and go back and do the same thing. And you think about that person that you respect that we talked about earlier, that family member, that boss, that co-worker, that coach, that teacher, whoever it was. Would you go up to them and say something that would be in essence a slap in the face? Not a single one of us would. Not a single one of us. Why not? Because we respect them. We think a lot of them. Why would we do that to God? Why would we do that to God? The one being who has done everything in the world for us, paved the way for our salvation. His Son paid the price for our salvation. And He's got a home ready for us. He'll build us one, and it's going to be beautiful. If we'll just fear Him and respect Him and live for Him. Without the fear of the Lord, we won't be motivated to repent of sin. You say, well, how do I get the fear of the Lord? How can I obtain it? I don't really have it. How can I get it? Well, I think the best way that we can get the fear of the Lord is by studying the Bible. Seriously studying the Bible. I'm going to talk about three different stories real quick. They're just good examples to me that always stick out in my mind as reasons why we should fear God. While you're studying your Bible, you might come across 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we find the story of Uzzah. Uzzah was a Levite. The Levites weren't supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant. For some reason, in this particular day, they were traveling. There was only one set of sons who could touch the Ark, and they were carrying the Ark. And the Bible says that the oxen stumbled and the Ark kind of shook. Uzzah thought it was going to fall. Well, now remember, God had made a commandment that nobody could touch the Ark except for one set of sons. I can't remember this name off the top of my head. But Uzzah wasn't one of them. He was a Levite. You know what Uzzah did? You know what he did? He reached up, touched the Ark, possibly to try to steady it, keep it from falling. He thought he was doing a good thing, didn't he? Most of us probably would have done the same thing, you know, tried to protect it. You know what God did? He took his life. Right there. You know what? Because Uzzah didn't respect God. He didn't fear God. If Uzzah had had a respect of God and a fear of God, you think he would have been walking that close to the Ark? What was he doing? He was flirting with sin. Do we flirt with sin? Do you ever see how close you can get to it? Without doing it? I'm afraid sometimes we might. We might be doing the same thing Uzzah did. We're walking right up there next to it. We're not touching it. I'm not touching it. I'm just walking by it. I just want to see it. God killed him. He took his life just like he had promised him he would. So we might run across the story of Uzzah. Then we might happen to run over the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira were members of the church. That particular congregation had all decided that all things that they had were everybody. So everybody had agreed to sell what they had, put it into a pot, and then to distribute it to those that needed. Give everybody even. That was what they had agreed to do. Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, agreed that they would sell what they had, and they were going to tell Peter, I believe, they were going to tell him that this was all that they had. That they sold it, this was the money they had, and they were going to give it to him. And when they got there, Ananias came first, the husband. He was asked, is this all that you have? And he said, yes, it is. He said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? Why did you lie to God? Was it not yours? See, they had kept part back. The sin wasn't in keeping part back. Keeping part of what they had sold, that wasn't the sin. The sin was lying and trying to make everybody think, yeah, they've given it all. They've given everything. You know what happened to Ananias? He gave up the ghost. He died. On the spot. For lying to the Holy Spirit. A little bit later, his wife came. She didn't know what had happened. And she held up her end of the story. And God did the same thing to her. For lying to the Holy Spirit. We might also run across the story that Chan talked about last night was about the talents in Matthew 25. You remember what happened to the one talent man? You remember what happened? That he was cast out of the darkness. He was cast out. You ever been afraid of being cast out of the church? Have you ever been afraid of that? Now imagine being in some type of competition where they are trying to eliminate down to a top three or a top two or something like that, and your name's on the list. And you're in this competition, you're trying to do your absolute best to stay on the list because you're afraid of having your name wiped off the list. Well, if you're a Christian, your name's on the list. It's not a competition name, but your name's on the list. You ever live like you were afraid for your name to be wiped out of the book of life? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about what I'm about to do can take my name out of the Lamb's book of life? Which means that on the last day, if it happens to be today, it's not going to be there. You know what God's going to say? I never knew you. Depart from me. What about the non-bearing fruit that Jesus talks about in John chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2? Jesus says, I am the vine and you are my branches. And then he talks about the non-fruit-bearing branch. The branch that's just there, taking up space, taking up good water, taking up good photosynthesis. But it's not producing any fruit. You know what it says happened to it? It was cut off. It was cut off. What about you? Are you bearing fruit? Or are we just taking up space? There's many, many other stories in the Bible that we could consider. And if we study, we'll run across them. We'll see them. We'll see God's wrath. And you know what we'll do? We'll develop a healthy respect for God. We'll develop a healthy fear of God. And then you know what we'll have? We'll have knowledge. We'll hate evil. We'll have a satisfying life. We'll have a long life. We'll have a promise of riches and honor and eternal life in the life to come. And isn't that what we all want? Isn't that why we're here tonight? Isn't that why we've decided to come here on a Monday night rather than staying home and watching something on television, reading a newspaper, washing clothes, cleaning the house, whatever it might have been that we could have found it done with our time tonight? Isn't that why we're here? It's because we want all of those things. Well, the Bible tells us how to get it, and it's through a healthy fear of God and respect of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. A lot of times we use this passage to talk about how we should study our Bible. Because it says in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. That's the King James Version. The New King James doesn't use the word study. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. Be diligent. That person that we talked about that you respect so much, that you think so much of, if it was a coach, were you not diligent to do all the exercises and all of the workouts and to do good at practice? Because you wanted them to be impressed with you, you wanted them to think highly of you, you wanted to be in their good favor, the person that you respect, also maybe if it was the coach, you might fear them a little bit because they could make you do some type of running or drills or something like that for not working hard. So you got two motivations. One because you like them and another because you're afraid of them. That's the way it is with God. We're motivated two ways. We're motivated because we love God, but we're also motivated because we know what He'll do to us if we don't live for Him. But the Bible says be diligent to show yourself approved. Be diligent. Diligence is a daily task. Not weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly. It's the daily task. And so I'll leave you tonight with the question, how diligent are you with your fear of the Lord and your respect of God? How diligent have you been with your fear of God? If we want to shine as lights in the world, if we want to have Christ-like characteristics, if we want to have Christ-like service, we cannot have it without respect of God, but also a balance of fear for God. please think about these things. I'm very much looking forward to the rest of the week, learning more about shining as lights in the world. This is such a good topic for us to think about, especially at this time, to shine as lights in the world. To everyone that we're around, please think about these things. If you have not been shining as a light, and if your life was over right now, your light wouldn't be shining in anyone's eyes. And no one would see it. Make that right tonight. Make that right tonight. You can. Anytime if you are not a Christian, you have the opportunity to become so. If you do that, you will make an impression on people. Everyone that sees you will remember. If you have become a Christian, and you're strayed away, when you come back, you know what you show? You show humility and respect and fear for God. And don't think that that goes unnoticed. Don't think that that light doesn't leave an impression. Don't think that it doesn't make a difference. Number one, it makes a difference for you because you get back right with God. Number two, it makes a difference because you help other people. If there's any way that we can be of assistance, please let us know while we stand in the same.